Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 173-ish of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. 174, the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts, and I'm always here. My name is Eric, giving thanks for Spanx, because, you know, they keep everything together. They just hold it all together, and it's a Seattle company, so I got to support them. Giving thanks for Spanx Walquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse. Don't forget to remove your giblets, Wilson.
Don't forget it, man. They're in a little bag. It's going to taste bad if you eat it.
Yeah, you don't want to leave those giblets in there.
You're going to make some gravy out of those things?
Am I? I didn't get a turkey this year, so no.
Way to go, man.
Fighting the power.
I think that somebody, and I'm spoiler alert for a listener mail later, but I think somebody asked, like, how do you like to cook your turkey? And I was like, I've never cooked a turkey before.
I cooked one last year. Really? I actually have some thoughts on this.
Okay, so. Well, we'll save that for the stuff.
That's a little tease.
Are you making a chicken? Are you going to have a chicken?
No, I'm not making anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm just enjoying the fruits of other people's labor this year.
Last year we were in Hawaii, or I guess it was 2 years ago, we were in Hawaii for Thanksgiving, and so we just made a chicken, because it's, like, impossible to get a turkey down there.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Rough stuff, I know.
The Polynesian canoe explorers didn't bring any turkeys.
They didn't. And plus, we were on Kauai, and literally Kauai is covered in chickens. So, we just walked down the street and picked up, like, four of them.
Sounds like someone's got Hawaii on the mind.
Somebody does. I'm going to Hawaii in 2 weeks, so what can I say? I'm getting excited. And I'm also, you know, this is a little teaser, but we're kind of starting to plan our bypacks this year, the Blue Yonder Personal Arrogance Exposition, trying to figure out the host city this year. And I think right now San Diego is the front runner.
San Diego sounds good.
I really love San Diego because you go to Stone Brewing Company. I don't know if we have a lot of listeners in San Diego, but if we do go to San Diego, the Bacusho ladies can drive down. It's a 2-hour drive from L.A.
Are they going to?
We'll see. We'll see. We can have a massive... I actually had a dream about this. This is what spurred me to like try to narrow down a new city for this thing, because I had a dream, and it was Gino and Aaron... And it was us, and the Bacusho ladies, and we were all, like, in this house, like, from the 90s. And I think we were, like, playing ice-breaking games. I don't know. But then
don't
I woke
break
up.
The ice.
Yeah, don't break the ice. Do you know what that game is?
Yeah.
Have you played that game, like, with the little mallets?
Yeah, when I was, like, 7.
Dude, we have so many, like, Kindred Spirits things.
I think it was a pretty popular game.
Well, you had Ants in My Pants, or whatever, which was, like, that ant, you build the bugs.
And right, I don't know if I played that one.
Yeah, that was a more popular one, but then Don't Break the Ice was there as well. That was like a family staple as a kid. Don't Break the Ice. But that's going to bleed into another topic that we're going to talk about tonight. Jesse, how was your week?
Pretty good. I'm house-sitting.
Oh, cool. That's always fun.
And yeah, it is. And I'm house-sitting in a pretty well-off couple's house. They have a giant TV with surround sound.
Legit.
It's got like crystal clear HD and a ton of channels.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a jacuzzi.
Are you... is this going to be happening all weekend?
Yeah, till Monday.
Oh. I don't know if... I'm just saying, you know, we're going to be up in Port Townsend this weekend. Lydia's parents don't have cable.
Oh, football time!
And there's going to be some football going on, so...
Definitely.
Just saying, and I guess we could probably figure this stuff up off air.
But yeah, I'm living the high life right now. It's funny because the guy's Alaskan, and everything's Alaskan size.
Nice.
Like the house is huge, the TV's huge, he has a huge dog, he has a huge cat, he has a huge freezer full of huge salmon and halibut steaks.
You know what they say, everything's even bigger in Alaska.
Yeah, and like anything that has anything to do with, like, home decor is all Alaskan-themed.
Dude, it sounds like you're living the life right now.
This is actually my dream house. It's great. And it's surrounded on three sides by dense forests. I'm drinking beer right now out of an Alaskan amber, glass mug that's heavy and awesome. I love it.
Nicely done. You're like Jesse Pinkman's dream.
I'm just Jesse Wilson's dream.
I guess so. The Jesse on Jesse violence. I had a pretty good week, but I'm just ready. I'm very excited to go spend 4 days up in Port Townsend.
Cool.
It is a relaxing, relaxing place, and I feel like I'm just kicking it every time I go up there. Get to hang out with you. Get to see your daughter, who is freaking gigantic.
Yeah, Tasha's been posting pictures. Size too.
She's getting huge, dude. I saw a picture of her on Facebook, and I literally thought it was like a 4-year-old boy. It was a picture of her. She was like tired and eating Cheerios.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she did. She looked pretty grown up in that one.
She looks huge. She's got like 12-inch legs.
Yeah, she's long. She's a long baby.
Anyway.
I think she's going to be like a volleyball player for sure.
Excellente. So, Jesse, what are you drinking out of that giant mug of yours?
I'm drinking pale ale from work. Mm-hmm. On a little bit of a budge with the holiday crunch.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
Drink free beer.
Yeah. Although it is December's a 5-week month, so remember that. Stick that in your paycheck and smoke it. And then we got Bridgeport Ebenezer Ale is what I'm drinking. I haven't had this one yet this season, but this is like such a consistent winter season. You know, it's not necessarily the standout winter seasonal every year, but it's super, super consistent. And I've been drinking this stuff for probably like 5 or 6 years now, and every year I really enjoy it. So basically anything Bridgeport puts out I really like, but the Ebenezer Ale, really good winter seasonal.
There you go.
This year. All right, and then we got to dedicate this episode to somebody. And I'm going to dedicate this episode to Pete Carroll. And I'll get to why here.
Because of his harsh disciplinarian attitude that keeps everyone in check.
Exactly. But I'll get to why here in listener feedback. Why don't we get to listener feedback? You guys blew our phone lines up this week, which is awesome. We love it when you're a part of the show and you elbow your way in. So we're going to start off here with a phone call from Texas.
Hey, what's going on? It's Sean from Fort Worth, Texas. How's it going, guys? I hope it's going well. You guys were talking about kids cussing on this week's show, and I thought that was awesome because I have a 10-year-old son who is addicted to cussing, and he cusses all the time. Like, when Mitt Romney was around, he called him Shit Romney. It's pretty annoying. You kind of just have to let it roll off your shoulders as long as they know not to cuss in public. But I do have a couple of examples of when a kid cussing was the funniest shit I'd ever heard in my life. First one was my son was 2 years old. He had a little toy acoustic guitar, and he was jumping up and down on the couch next to me being rambunctious, and he just goes, "Daddy, I play my guitar like an asshole." And the other one was my friend's little sister was like 4 or 5, and she got done eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she took the last bite, washed it down with a glass of milk, and slammed the glass of milk down on the table and said, "Now that's what I call a fucking PB&J. And those were the two best kid cussing stories I could come up with. That's all I have for you this time, my friends. Stay arrogant.
I think all those stories are really adorable.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
You always gotta love it when somebody mixes up the terms badass and asshole. I mean we really podcast like a couple of assholes, so
that's true.
That's what I say after every cast. I don't know. I guess cussing for kids, it's cute under certain circumstances,
right?
And really, I mean, Shit Romney. I mean, that's just funny. Anyway, let's go down to Florida for our next call.
Hey guys, this is Jay from Newsomata Beach, Florida, calling. Go Patriots. I mean, did you guys watch that game? And what's up with the Seahawks getting popped for a failed drug test? That's the 7th one. I don't know what's going on up there in Seattle. Maybe that's why they're so good. Anyway, I'm drinking some Southern Tier Krampus. It's an Imperial lager, and it's pretty good. I don't understand the difference between lagers and ales. I mean, I kind of read a little bit of Wikipedia, but I don't know if Jesse could explain more the difference and why they're so good. But, yeah, man, go Patriots.
Get off my back, Jay. I really love this.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Jeez. Whoa. Okay. Jay with like the Return of the King ending on that phone call. I really love that Jay is, he's like expanding his beer horizons through every phone call, which is great. So this is why I had to dedicate. I watched the press conference today with Pete Carroll, and he is like such a next man up type of guy.
Right.
He's gonna cut his guys a lot of slack, but like the way that he talked about Brandon Browner today, who was caught again for PEDs and is probably never gonna be a Seahawk ever again.
Yeah, he'll never take the field wearing a Seahawks uniform again, that's
exactly.
For sure.
And he was like, you know, it's unfortunate. We try to give guys second chances and sometimes they screw it up. And like you know, at USC he kind of had rampant rule breaking there as well, and that's kind of why he left USC. But he is like a next man up guy, and I really trust him. The other thing is Walter Thurman got busted for substances, but his were not PED substances.
So Browner's were PED?
Yeah, so Browner's was PED, but Thurman was...
Oh, I thought they both got busted for marijuana.
I don't know. Did Browner get busted for marijuana?
I don't know.
Which I don't really understand the NFL's policy here, because guess what? The green's legal up here in Washington State.
Yeah, but what's their policy going to be? No marijuana unless you're the Broncos or the Seahawks.
Yeah, I know. I just, like, Robin Williams had a joke, you know, when the there was, like, this Canadian who was, like, the first snowboarder to win a gold medal in the Olympics, and then he later got busted for weed, and he got his medal taken away. And Robin Williams was like, the only way that's a performance-enhancing drug is if there's, like, a giant Snickers bar at the bottom of the slope. Like,
exactly.
It is what it is. They're not setting a good example, but guess what, guys? They're a bunch of humans, and they're, like, super rich, and they play for the best team in football. Well, so they're going to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah. The thing is, like, if I was a wide receiver that was playing against Walter Thurman III, I would want him to be smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, put all the smoke you can in your lungs.
Yeah.
And please take this drug that's not exactly known for motivating people. So he's going to come back better.
Yeah. I think, you know, it is a bummer, but like I said, next man up. And we do have one of the deepest rosters in the NFL. It's too bad that Browner's not going to be a part of our Super Bowl run. But actually, Brandon Browner is my least favorite defensive player. I actually hate watching him play football.
He draws a lot of pass interference calls.
He draws a ton of them. It's ridiculous, man. Anyway.
Yeah. And he was injured already, out for the season.
Yeah.
And it was already questionable whether the Seahawks would re-sign him because of salary cap issues. So he basically just put the final nail in his own coffin.
Have fun in Miami next year, buddy, because I feel like that's like an ideal Dolphins candidate. Anyway, what's the difference between an ale and a lager?
Well, they're fermented with different yeast strains. So ales are fermented warmer, faster, and then the yeast, basically it dies out before it can break down the more complex sugar chains.
Yeast
chains.
Fast, die like, young.
Yeah, exactly. Lives fast, dies young, leaves sugar. Whereas lager is a little more conservative. It ferments at a cooler temperature for a longer period of time, and it's able to break down those longer, bigger sugar chains that ales can't. So that's why you get kind of a drier, crisper, smoother flavor from your lagers.
Well, there you go. And lagers are kind of harder to make, too, aren't they?
Well, basically what I say, they're not any harder to make, they just take longer.
Well, there you go. All right, and then up next we got JR from Philly. We're going up the East Coast to Philadelphia, and he's got his Thanksgiving call for us.
What's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. Given that Thanksgiving's upon us, I thought I'd call in with some Thanksgiving food beer pairings. Starting off with turkey, I'm going to go with a Wimmer Brothers Oktoberfest Ale. It's a classic seasonal style for a classic seasonal meat, and the caramel and malt complement the tryptophan in the turkey. Loaded mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm going with a Crooked Tree IPA on this one. The heavy mashed potatoes and savory gravy are going to contrast nicely with the crisp, hoppy, floral IPA. Stuffing. I'm doing Franziskoner, Hefeweiss Beer Dunkel. The banana and clove spices are going to shake it up with the stuffing. And the slight acidity from the wheat beer is going to complement the starch in the stuffing. moving on to everybody's favorite, yams. I'm going to pair them up with Amagang Hennepin. It's a farmhouse saison. And the farmhouse characteristics in the saison are going to bring out the earthiness of the sweet potatoes. Got one more side for you, cranberry sauce. I'm going to pair that with one of my local favorites, Yard's Brawler, which is a brown ale. And the sweet dark malts are going to complement the sweet cranberry sauce. And Brawler, by the way, is a great session beer. Coming in nice at 4.2. And drink it all day. Mm. Let's do some dessert. Pumpkin pie. I'm going to pair this up with a Goose Island Matilda, which is a crisp and clean Belgian pale ale that's going to complement the sweet and spicy pumpkin pie without bludgeoning it. But if you're in the mood for bludgeoning, go for a Southern Tier Pumpkin or Elysian Night Owl. That's going to be pumpkin on pumpkin action. So those are my thoughts for what you could pair some stuff up for at Thanksgiving. I'd like to hear what you guys might pair up with some of those meals. And stay arrogant. Get off my back.
Get off my back, JR.
Sounds good.
Yeah, dude. I think that JR is trying to challenge you for resident beer expert. And I think he's winning.
There's plenty of room on this ship.
There's plenty of room on the boat for beer experts.
Yeah, on the beer boat, on the cool ship. Lambic fans know what I'm talking about.
Oh my goodness, this just got weird. This just got real weird. Okay. Thank you, JR, for that beer report. And JR, I might be in Philly next year, so we're going to have to hook up for some beer. And then finally, we got one more call, and here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse, this is Jeff from Rochester calling in again this week. I hate to disappoint you guys, but this is not a drunk dial. This is actually a caffeine fuel dial. I just finished my big term paper for grad school that was actually due Sunday, but the professor gave us a blanket extension, so hooray for that. And I have about 4 cups of coffee going through me right now so I can get this 20-pager done. So look, I'm a little weird. My question with Thanksgiving tomorrow, what do you guys do for your turkey and how do you cook it? Personally, we usually have 2 turkeys for my family's Thanksgiving dinner. We have one that's baked all day in the oven, and then my cousin also likes to bring one that he has smoked for several days. Hope you guys have a happy holiday, and we'll talk to you in a bit. Get off my turkey's back. Bye.
Get off my turkey's back. All the way from Rochester.
My back fat.
All the way from Rochester, New York. All right, Jesse, so this is time to impart some knowledge on us. How are you going to be cooking your turkey if you ever do cook a turkey ever again?
Well, I was talking to this guy from Louisiana at work the other day.
Yep.
And he was explaining to me just how delicious deep fat fried turkeys and chickens are.
Okay.
And I really want to get in on the deep fat frying turkey bandwagon.
Oh, man.
He says once you do that, you'll never go back.
Well, Jesse.
And I believe him.
I believe you too, but like this is like multiple houses are going to be burned down this year from people trying to freaking fry turkeys.
I already know what the how to do it safely.
First of all, don't do it in your garage.
I'll do it outdoors for sure. But the thing is, like, you got to make sure it's completely thawed. That's the big one. And okay. The other big one is, like, people burn their house down because they're just like, all right, fill it up with oil. The oil's nice and hot now. Put the turkey in. Oh, it's overflowing! Because they don't think of the displacement. So as long as your displacement is fine,
right,
you'll be fine.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're safe, buddy.
I already have the burner.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, if you want, like, a cheap homebrew kit, like, a used turkey fryer on Craigslist is, like, a great way to start. Because you could do it all outdoors, so you don't have to worry about a mess in your kitchen.
Slightly scorched.
No, but you could use it, and you can use the propane to adjust the heat on it so that you can get the beer up to the right temperature that you want, and it's actually a pretty viable thing. That's actually the only way that I've homebrewed is with the turkey fryer.
Yeah, I mean, my burner, I got just the burner, but it's the Bayou classic backyard cooking propane thing. I'm sure mine was designed for deep fat frying turkeys.
Yeah, why not?
Yep.
All right, then we got one email this week, and this is coming to us. Where is this coming to us from? Oh, I think this is actually coming to us from up here in the Northwest. It's a window scraping tip for you, Jesse. He says, hey, guys, I was listening to your last episode when Jesse was comparing scraping his icy windows to getting punched in the face. There is a solution. You can get aftermarket windshield washing fluid heater installed in your car for pretty cheap. It's a little heater that goes on your wiper fluid tank and keeps it nice and hot. Then all you have to do is spray your windshield with a hot washer fluid and whammy, clear windshield in seconds. That, thanks a ton for mentioning our clothing drive, Seattle Giving Thanks on your last cast. We got a ton of stuff collected and we'll be in downtown Seattle this Saturday distributing it. Have a great Thanksgiving and stay arrogant. That comes to us from Mark. I'm just a little concerned about this because like cold window, hot liquid. Isn't that going to shatter the window?
It's probably just warm.
I mean, that's what I used to do. Like, you know, it's still pretty mild up here in Seattle, even when it's cold. So, like, I would just spray the windshield wiper fluid on the thing. And it would clear the windshield, but then it would instantly freeze. So you'd have a nice film, semi-transparent film on your windshield.
Mm-hmm. Safe.
Yeah, keep it safe. Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say, if you are going to deep-fat fry a turkey, you should always keep a fire extinguisher on hand.
Yeah, because you don't want to throw water on burning oil.
See, I heard that works.
Okay. That's not what my Boy Scout troop told me.
Kidding.
Okay.
Kidding.
Okay.
Use the oily rags in the corner of the garage to smother it.
To smother it. Exactly. And then speaking of charity, I just do want to mention this. Bald Move Network is doing something really cool. This was set up by Gino and Aaron. Every single dollar, while you're doing your holiday shopping this year, every single dollar that they make off of their Amazon affiliate link in December is going to be donated straight to Child's Play, which I think is like the coolest thing in the world. First of all, I love Child's Play because it is the charity that was founded by the PAX guys, Mike and Jerry. And second of all, I have multiple family members in my immediate family who work at Children's Hospital. So it makes me really, really happy. You know, I get to hear the stories firsthand about these kids who have extended stays in the hospital and you know, they don't have anything to do all day and they're sick and it's sad. And like Child's Play goes in. It buys them the toys and the video games that they can use to really just be a kid when they're in this kind of alien environment of a hospital for an extended stay or even a short stay. So it's a really, really great charity, and you know we're doing it with Bald Move. So go to the Amazon affiliate link, which I believe let me just make sure I have it right here. It's amazon.baldmove.com. You click on that link. It just looks like regular Amazon, except everything that you buy, a little piece of that goes to Bald Move and goes to Child's Play for December. So it's a really, really cool thing. You don't even have to spend any money. You just have to buy the same things you were going to buy in Amazon, except you know a couple dollars goes to Child's Play. So amazon.baldmove.com, make sure you bookmark that. And if you do any shopping on Amazon in December, or really any time, you could do it through that link. It supports Bald Move. And it supports Child Play. So really just want to get the word out about that.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. All right. It is time for a little Tiny Matt roll-off, sir.
Indeed. I'm relying on the Dungeons & Dragons dice roller.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to do that, too. I don't know where my dice went.
Uh-oh. Yep. Well, I just rolled a one.
All right. The best we can
Thanks,
hope for.
Thanks, Dungeons & Dragons dice roller.
Yeah. The best we can hope for is a
double roll off.
Yeah, roll off. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I can't find my dice. This is great pod.
Well, now's a good time to talk about. I don't know. Well, this time last year, when my wife was in the hospital, I was hanging out there with her, and after like day, three, uh-huh. I went and got my Xbox. I was like, I'm playing Halo.
Yeah.
I can't handle this anymore. So.
You know, it's just, you know, that's what we do. That's why we play games. We play games for two reasons, to connect with other people and to escape from reality.
Right.
And those are two things that anybody who is in a hospital for an extended stay
needs to do.
Right. They need to connect with other people and they need to escape reality. And that just, I think that just multiplies when you're talking about a kid in a hospital.
Totally.
So that's what Child's Play focuses on. I rolled an 18, so I win.
Wow. Jeez.
All right, my first topic this week, speaking of games, speaking of family, speaking of Thanksgiving, Mm. I'm going to talk about games. And, you know, this is the time when the family gets together. And a lot of people are hopefully going to be listening to this podcast on Thanksgiving or during Thanksgiving weekend, hanging out with their families, spending some time, I guess, away from your family since you're listening to the podcast. But you know, it's also a great time to play games with your family and even introduce games to your family. So I just wanted to talk about a few of some awesome games that maybe you can run out and get or even play without any even having to buy anything. For your family. Jesse, do you have any favorite, like, party games?
Well, Cards Against Humanity is great for the family.
It is, as long as there are any children present.
I'll be bringing that one.
I guess if you want to, yeah, like, you know, we had the caller earlier about starting cussing early. If, what, can you explain Cards Against Humanity for people who may not know what it is?
Well, the way I always, I've heard a lot of people, give rules explanation when they're beginning to play, mm-hmm. and everyone always says, have you played Apples to Apples?
Exactly.
It's basically Big Boy Apples to Apples. It's really vulgar.
And yeah.
It's witty, too.
Yeah, and you could play it, you know, I was reading a thread on Reddit today, and it was like, you can play it two ways. You can either have, like, the most disgusting answer be the one that you choose, or you can have the most clever answer be the one that you choose. But regardless, there's a lot of They've designed the game to get you into some very vulgar situations that are hilarious, especially when grandma's playing.
Yeah.
So Cards Against Humanity is good. One of my favorite party games, and I don't know if you could still get this game, but it was the type of game that you could get at like Fred Meyer or Target or whatever. It was called Identity Crisis, and it was basically a game where there were all these cards with famous people written on them. And then you had to get your family to guess the famous person on your card, but each round it gets progressively harder to do that. So, like, the first time you can use as many words as you want to describe the person. You say, this person was in this, you know, this guy was Indiana Jones and Han Solo. Well, that's Harrison Ford, right? But then the second round you use the same set of cards, but you can only use one word per card.
Mm.
So, you're using the same card, so in that case, you'd go, like, Indiana, and then people would have to guess, you know, Harrison Ford.
Aaron.
Exactly. And then the third round, which was actually a house rule round that we came up with, is the third round, you still use the same set of cards, but then you have to do charades.
Oh, there you go.
So you go from as many words as you want to one word to zero words. And it's a really fun game, and it's actually a type of game that you can do whether you buy the game or not. You just have to have basically a list of famous people. You could do it charade style, put all these famous names in a hat, and then go for it that way.
Right.
So Identity Crisis is good. Of course, there's a classic Cranium. That was always my family's favorite game. There's Taboo, which is very similar to the Identity Crisis thing. There's some new games out. I played this game Say Anything this past week, which is a party game that was featured on Will Wheaton's... what's that? Tabletop, which is his YouTube show where he plays board games with famous people. And, you know, it's a fun game. It'll get you through the day, but I didn't think it was the most amazing thing out there. But when I was trying to think about, you know, great family games, if you want to get a little more hardcore, I think that Bang is a really good one to play. I know that you were there when we were up in Whistler with Jordy's family, and we all played Bang with like 8 people.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. And we got to say, I want to bang Jordy's mom.
Oh, God.
And there's nothing they could do, because it was accurate. It was part of the gameplay.
Well, yes, but we should put this in context. you're a bunch of cowboys in a gunfight. It's like a spaghetti western, so you bang your gun.
Mm-hmm. But there's a card called Bang, and you're like, and right. You have to declare who you're playing the card against. So it's like, I want to bang Jordy, or I want to bang Jordy's mom.
Right.
It's good stuff.
Hilarity ensues. And but then I was also thinking, Jesse, about a game that you and I came up with.
Uh-oh.
A little game called Coin Slayer. Which is, I think, a really, really fun game. And I think we need to unleash this on the world.
Go for it.
All right. So Coin Slayer, basically, each person needs a quarter. Or everybody has to have a like coin, but it's a lot easier if you have quarters because they're the easiest ones to spin.
Yeah, I think they should all be quarters.
Yeah, I think so too. I think like pennies would be too difficult.
Yeah, and nickel would have a huge advantage.
Oh yeah, nickel's like the brawler, dude. It's short. It's like the dwarf.
Yeah,
it's like short and stubby. So basically,
the 50-cent piece would be pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm. It's like the slammer, man, from Pogs. But basically, and what's really made the coin slayer work is, you know, in the past 15 years, the U.S. Mint printing all of these different state coins. Like, it makes it really easy to identify which coin is which. But you could just go off the date, too. But all the coins have to be relatively unique so that you can
tell
which. Yeah, you can identify which coin is which. So, you know, you can either go by dates or you can go by what's on the back of the coin. But basically what you do is you all put your coins in the middle of the table so that your hands are almost touching. So they have to be, like, in a really tight circle. And you go, you count down around the table so that you have to do it on a regular cadence, just like, you know, starting a race. So I would say 3, the person next to me would say 2, then the next person would say 1, and then the next person would say go. But you have to say it in like a regular cadence. 3, 2, 1, go. Then everybody spins their coins and lets them go. And then the coins will spin around the table, and there's 2 ways to score points in the game. One is to be the survivor. And that's just to be the last coin to stop rolling on the table. And then the second one is to be is to get a takedown. So the way that you get a takedown is if your spinning coin hits another spinning coin, and then your spinning coin stops spinning after the other one stops spinning. So whichever, if 2 coins hit each other, the one that is the last one spinning gets the takedown. So you score the points that way, and then it's like the first to 13 points, and then whoever wins, wins. And that's Coin Slayer, man. But the great thing about Coin Slayer is there's 2 things that are really great. So there's kind of this idea of dexterity in board games. So that would be like Operation is a dexterity board game, because you're trying to, you know, get the thing out, but it's all about your dexterity. It's about your physical ability to do that. So there's the dexterity element of spinning your coin the best. But then there's also like the sports element of rooting for this coin, even though you basically, once you let the thing fly, you have no control over it, but you're sitting there like rooting for it, hoping for a takedown or hoping to be the last one rolling. And it's a lot of fun, especially after a few beers.
Yeah. Or during.
Yeah, or during,
a few beers.
Great bar game. So Coin Slayer, that is the game. Jesse, you have any notes on Coin Slayer?
No, I really enjoyed it. A little too much for how simple it is.
I know, it's a really crazy fun game to play.
It was pretty entertaining.
We did have a variant that we were talking about. We're still trying to iron out the kinks of this game.
Right, but, yeah. Open to house rules, let us know.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, having 2 points for a takedown and 1 point for a survivor. So,
just because we were thinking like the survivor is too valuable,
mm-hmm.
but when you play with more people, the value of survivor goes down.
Well, when you play with more, I would say the value of survivor goes up when you're playing with more people because it's harder to get survivor.
Well, that's what I mean. So okay. you don't have to nerf survivor.
Oh yeah.
Per se.
That's true. I want to play some more Coin Slayer now, dude.
Well, Friday.
I've been collecting some grizzled quarters. That's the other part about this is like the next time you get a quarter for change, you'll be like looking through your quarters. I found this great quarter that's like all chipped up. Found it in the parking lot. It's an Idaho quarter, so it's got a hawk on the back.
Yeah.
And it's like mangled and chipped. I do feel like older quarters have an advantage though, because I think they're heavier. I think they're made out of a heavier metal.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm keeping my eye out for a bicentennial, dude.
That's the vet.
Yeah, got the freaking Patriot on the back, drumming a drum, and it's like made out of super heavy metal. Bringing in 1776, man. Let's do this shit. So anyway, that's Coin Slayer. If you're playing a game, you know, try any of these out. And if you have a favorite family game to play for Thanksgiving, send us an email, personalargots@gmail.com.
You've actually inspired me to bring a game tomorrow to my family Thanksgiving. I think I'll bring Catan because I know at least 2 people would be interested in playing.
Catan's great. It's a little more in depth, so that's kind of the thing. Like, it depends on who who your what your family's like, because a lot of people just want casual games that they can play while sleeping.
You know, at a certain point in time, in like depending on how big your family festivities are, like people start peeling off, so you can peel off in the Catan group and
Or Carcassonne, I think, would also be a really good one.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, I want to stick with the Thanksgiving theme here.
Okay.
And it's funny because we had a listener say, like, you should, like, say nuts to any sort of establishment that's open on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid it. It's bad form. And apparently that's picking up some popularity.
Right.
There has been a... I guess a social media backlash against Black Thursday, as they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
it's like the extension of Black Friday into Thursday.
It is, yeah, it's extension of Black Friday, yet it bleeds into... the whole point of Black Friday is it's the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it's not even Black Thursday. It's just Thanksgiving. Like, it's... already got a name, and it's Thanksgiving. Right. So apparently this has been picking up steam on social networking that there's going to be a boycott of Black Thursday.
I think
events.
It makes sense, dude. First of all, who wants to go shopping on Thanksgiving? Play a game with your family. We gave you so many options, people. But the other part about that I love about it is, you know, online, now they're having extended Black Friday sales. So, like, I know at least on Amazon.com and, you know, there's some board game websites out there that are having Black Friday Week, which is kind of the weirdest name ever for anything. But I guess online's not as bad because you could still shop online while eating turkey.
And that's fine. And, like, that's – I actually don't know, but I'm guessing they don't have to hire or – get a bunch of employees to work those days that they would normally have off. The outrageous thing here is, like, you have a shitty job working at Walmart already.
Right.
And now you can't even take Thanksgiving off because you have to work.
Yeah.
And, like, work during a frenzy, too.
Yeah, it's just so much BS, man. And, that's the other part about it is it's condoned by the people. It's like the Washington Redskins. Like, everybody knows it's bullshit, but everybody's just like, well, you know, it's what is what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, if no one goes, man.
Exactly.
But you know, it will be business as usual.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah, there's some great quotes here. I always wanted to believe that Target was somehow better than Walmart in product and in policies. I realize that Target does not share my values and will no longer get my business. Give your employees a paid day off, Roshan Pierce.
Well, it's like, I mean, you got Walmart and you got Target, dude, but you also have Amazon.com.
Yeah.
I was telling this story to Jesse before the show. I'll tell it really quick here. I got some headphones today for this Hawaii trip because, you know, my wife and I need over-the-ear headphones for the plane ride. Because if you use earbuds, then you're going to be blasting music in your ear for 6 hours and 12 hours around a trip, and it's a bad idea. Anyway. So I order these, and there's a Black Friday deal. So I order these things on Amazon, and they have a same-day shipping option in Seattle. And the same-day shipping option was actually cheaper than the two-day shipping option and only $4 more expensive than the 3 to 5 day shipping option. So I ordered these headphones at 9 a.m. this morning, and I got home from work, and they were sitting at my door. Like, honestly... fuck Walmart and Target if this is the convenience that we're living in now. I don't even have to go to the store. I just sit on my ass and I come home and my stuff's waiting for me.
But don't you love going up to Northgate, Herc?
I love, especially going through the parking garage. Nothing makes me happier.
So, in a similar move, a Pizza Hut manager was fired after refusing to open the store on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
And he said that this is the first time in the 10 years he's been working there that he's been asked to open on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And he refused, and he lost his job over it.
10 years, man. Down the drain.
He didn't sound too bummed about what happened. But
maybe that's the wake-up call he was waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a war on Thanksgiving here, man.
Yeah, see, this is an actual war on Thanksgiving. Like, this is an actual... like, not I feel like this is like a not overblown war on a holiday.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, this is actual, like, commerce butting in on, like, our Thanksgiving tradition. And, God.
We need some checks and balances in the American diet.
Yeah.
Like, Americans are eating too much fast food anyway. And right. one of those is, like, maybe on Thanksgiving you're like, oh, I forgot to cook any sort of delicious turkey or pie or anything, so I'm just going to order a pizza, and then you call, and they're like, sorry, we're closed. And you're like, what have I done?
Exactly.
But you shouldn't be able to order, it should be against the law to order pizza on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's bullshit, man. That is some bullshit stuff.
It's the one day of the year dedicated to making some food for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you still get to stuff yourself.
I learned something really cool today, or this past weekend. We had a Friendsgiving this past weekend, so my softball team, we all got together, and we had some turkey, and we watched some football, and it was awesome. It was really a really great time. But I made a green bean casserole. This is the easiest shit to make, and it tastes delish. It tastes so delish.
Yeah.
You literally just go to the store. All the shit is stocked right next to each other. You get the canned green beans chopped. You get the canned cream and mushroom soup. And then the French fried onions are right next to that because they know that's the only thing you put French's French fried onions on.
Eric, here's the thing.
What?
I'm going through this too. I've hit a stage in my life where I'm learning to cook for myself.
Right.
And every time I cook for myself, I'm like, this is so delicious. It's not actually as good as you thought it was. In fact, it probably tasted like a below average green bean casserole, but the fact that you made it made you extra proud of it. You're like the parent of an ugly kid. It's like, he's so beautiful.
Dude, my shit was banging.
Yeah, every cook says that about their own food.
I was watching, so I was watching The Voice last night, my guilty pleasure, The Voice. Mm-hmm. And Adam Levine, the lead singer of Maroon 5, is one of the judges on there. And Carson Daly, the voice sounds like your nightmare, dude. It's like Carson Daly and Adam Levine and Christina Aguilera. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm definitely not interested in watching it.
Well, we'll see what you think when you hear it through surround sound.
You know what I have been watching?
What?
Besides football, is World War II in color.
Perfect. Same diff, really. So anyway, Carson Daly asks Adam Levine, he's like, dude, do you make anything for Thanksgiving? And Adam Levine's like, no, that would be scary if I tried to cook something. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you can cook something.
Cooking is, it's turning out to be easier than I thought it was.
It's much easier. It's hard to screw up, really. Like, yeah. There's these things called cookbooks and recipes.
Yeah.
And if you just stick to that shit, it usually turns out okay, at least.
Yeah.
At the very least. It's just, this is all right.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
I'm with you.
Anything else? What are any other quotes here?
Oh, let me jump back. Even Ebenezer Scrooge let Bob Cratchit go home a few minutes early on Christmas Eve. That's right. Not a great example.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it's just more of the same stuff.
Well, the other thing about it is, like, the Black Friday deals aren't that good, man.
Yeah,
like, I really feel like people are going to these brick-and-mortar stores and elbowing each other in the face for an Xbox. Don't understand what the internet is.
Yeah, it's... You said that like Aziz Ansari.
I've been watching all the Aziz Ansari stand-up specials on...
I could go to Walmart and get something that almost resembles the price I could get it for on Amazon. Let me trample someone for it.
Let me punch the shit out of somebody for
Let
this
me
Barbie.
Wake up at midnight and wait in line for 3 hours to buy something that's still $2 more than it is on Amazon.
It blows my mind, man. It blows my mind. So anyway, guys, if you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, hopefully you're not shopping. At least wait till tomorrow. Jesus.
Someone right now is at a Target, yeah. At the little Pizza Hut Express that they have in the Targets. Just looking down and shaking their head.
Buying a pretzel, and they're like, I didn't know Pizza Hut sold pretzels. They don't. They don't fucking sell pretzels. They only sell that in the fucking shitty Target Pizza Hut.
Man, when I worked at a mall, I ate so much of those Pizza Hut little mini pizzas.
When I worked at the mall in high school, I ate a lot of Cinnabons.
Oh, yeah.
There was one day when I
don't
ate,
know which is worse.
I ate two Cinnabons.
Okay, that's
in one
worse.
Sitting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like 17. I was a grown boy.
Yeah.
If I did that now, it would be there'd be some impact in a certain area of my body.
Impacted bowels, that is.
Yes. Thanks for pointing that out. I don't think that came across to the listener. All right, let's go ahead and do some trivia, unless you have some more Black Friday bullshit.
No, I'm good.
All right, I'm sorry, I'm getting worked up. I need to settle down here. Okay, we're going to do some Genus 1 Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to roll a D6, see which category we're going to do. It's a 4, Jesse. It's arts and literature again.
Now, did we boycott this one?
We didn't, because we did it last week, and I won. So we're definitely going to do it again.
Oh.
As long as I keep a winning. All right, so arts and literature. Jesse, this first one's for you. Please play along at home. And here we go. What book did the McWhirter twins originate to settle arguments in English pubs?
Oh, it's definitely the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh. I'm going to go with Tale of Two Cities. Guinness Book of World Records. Nice job. How did you know
Thank
that?
You. It's parodied on an episode of The Simpsons. They have like the Duff Book of World Records or something.
Classic. Okay, this one's for me. What Leon Uris novel recounts the birth of Israel? The Bible? I'm going to go with the Bible. It's Exodus, which technically is a book in the Bible.
Mm-mm. Right. You're not getting that one.
Okay. Jesse, this one's for you. What was Odysseus called by the Romans?
Odysseus called by the Romans? That's a good question. Is it like Perseus?
I'm going to go with Ulysses. Ulysses.
Oh, bummer.
All right. This one's for the win, Jesse. And it's my question. who is Robinson Crusoe's right-hand man? I believe his name was Friday.
I'll go with Black Friday.
Sorry, man. It's actually Man Friday. That is the full name of Friday. It was Man Friday.
Man Friday? I say we go to a geography time.
All right, I think you're right, man, if we're going to be all stingy about it. All right, so whoever geographically closest to the answer this week wins. What city would you visit to check out Wenceslas Square? Nice holiday theme here. Good King Wenceslas Square.
You answer first.
I'm going to go with Edinburgh, Scotland.
I'm going to go with Czechoslovakia.
That's not a city.
Oh, city.
Yeah.
I'll go with Prague.
Woodstock. Prague. You got it. Prague. You got it.
Oh, nice.
Are you serious? How did you know that?
I just went off of the sound of the name.
Wenceslas. Like Good King Wenceslas looked down on the Feast of Eden.
In Prague. Isn't that the is song if you sing it out?
Oh, okay. It is? Nice job. I was, unfortunately, I was reading the answer to what's the name of Snoopy's secretary. But I was like, Woodstock? Is that, that's in New York, right? Anyway. Well, you
well,
win
I
that
redeemed
one.
My critical failure.
Yeah, nice job. I think I have a technical win there, though. So I did win the roll-off. So my second topic this week is going to be let's just call it something I read on Reddit.
Tusked whales, narwhals, the unicorns of the sea.
Extra, extra, Reddit on Reddit, Reddit on Reddit.
I'm sorry, I exited out of that. Anyway. Dude, so Reddit's getting on my nerves, man.
Yeah, I think that's been the theme of this podcast for a while.
Yeah. And like, I'm kind of, like, it's on my phone, so I have this thing where I inherently go to it, but, like, it's bumming me out a little bit.
Yeah, the other day I went on there and on the front page, it was like, today I learned that the Japanese actually attacked America in the Aleutian Islands. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me! You idiots don't know this shit? This is basic U.S. history!
Yeah, I really feel like it's being taken over by the youngins.
It really has. It's like, today I learned that H2O is called that because it has two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom.
No way, bro.
I make so much sense, you know.
I'm also like, I'm trying not to be a hater here because I'm trying, that's actually one thing I'm trying to move away from is being a hater. But like, I freaking hate this glib, disingenuous hyperbole in everything on Reddit. It drives me fucking crazy.
I hate the
I guess that's a hyperbole, like the, though.
There's like the shorthand answers that show up in everything.
Yes.
Like, r/that happened.
I just, it's like,
good, real creative.
I saw this video on there, this video that was posted on r/videos, and it was like, I don't know what's going on in this video, but I would quit my job to watch it every second of the day.
It's that nerd sarcasm that's annoying.
It's like, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that is. Like, does this person literally like this so much? Because the video wasn't that great. Does this person literally like this so much that they would watch this every second of the day?
Yeah, I think it's people trying to channel the humor of Tina Fey.
I don't even know. I don't think that that was humorous, though. I think that that person was just saying that they liked that super a lot, but that was their way of saying it. I really enjoyed this video. What's wrong with that? I really enjoyed this video. It's visually appealing.
There's this idea out there that if you're overly superfluous with your language, mm-hmm. that it's better. Like, you're making a better point because you said it in a different way.
Right.
Like, I'm making a better point than you because I said this in kind of a humorous way.
And then the other part about this dude is just Reddit arguments.
Yeah, it's the worst. I can't even get into it now.
No.
Obviously, I don't comment anymore because
I don't.
I got drawn into too much bullshit. But now I will read the comments mm-hmm. and see other people get drawn into it, and I'm just like, oh, thank God that wasn't me.
It's like watching a train wreck.
But now I'm much more interested in going down. I go down to the bottom comments now and to the buried ones and start reading what people got downvoted like to hell for, the ones with like negative 400 comment karma. That is much more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, what do they not want me to hear?
What do what are they keeping from me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just, it bums me out, man. Like, I never feel
it's
fulfilled.
To move on is the thing.
It is, and that's actually what I want to talk about here, because we talked about this on a previous podcast. It came up in the Facebook Roundup. This new social media site, or I don't know how new it is, but they were asking our opinion on it, Untappd, which is basically a beer tracking site. Mm-hmm. Now, the social elements of this are questionable, because I've been on Untappd now for a few days, and I've never had anybody comment on my stuff, and I haven't commented on anybody else's. But it is a great way to keep track of all the beers that you've drank.
Right.
Like, you know, I decided to kick it off with a bang last night. I got a 22 of Arrogant Bastard, just to be like, all right, I'm going to start this thing right. And you get to take a picture of it, and it's like a little Instagram filters that you could put on your picture.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks cool. And then you can put in what you thought of the beer, and you can give it a rating. And the rating system is really good because it's a little slider. So you'd be like, I think it was like 80% of a good beer.
Okay, well, you've already lost me.
Why?
This is one of the things I hate about BeerAdvocate.com, uh-huh. is grading beer on a scale of 1 to 100. Like, what the hell is the difference between an 85 and an 84? Do we need that? Like,
well, this is grading on a scale of 1 to 5 stars.
Okay.
But you just use a slider. So you could be like, it's like 80. Oh, that's a 3.5. You know?
Okay.
So
that's fine. Yeah. It's just like Beer Advocate, like especially their magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's so stupid. They're like, and I hate this in all rating systems that are like way too big and lopsided. It's like anything under 60 is undrinkable. Okay, so why do we even have those numbers? You literally will never use 0 through 60. Yeah. So you've made over half of your rating system irrelevant from the get-go. But then they'll be like, they'll be grading them like, this one's an 82 and this one's an 83. It's like, and this one's a 92. It's like, what is the difference? Like, why the 1 point difference? What makes a 1 point difference? And, yeah. and something that's completely subjective.
Yeah, and yeah, this comes up a lot, like rating systems in general, like on Polygon. Like, I love that site. It's a great place to get video game news. It's really, like, the best place to get video game news. But the ratings are hilarious because every rating, unless it's a 9 or a 10, like, you know, your Skyrim or your GTA 5, it falls between 6 and 7.5.
Yeah.
Every
exactly.
rating. That's- Like, they should just have the scale start at 6, because if it's a really bad game, it gets a 6.
Yeah.
And then if it's a it's an alright game, it gets like a 7.5. And then if it's, you know, Skyrim, then it's a 9.5.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same thing. When you've already made over half of your scale,
right,
like a burnt wasteland of unusable,
yeah,
then you need to recalibrate.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, so I'm just wondering, because, like, this, I do like this Untappd app. I think that it's a great way, like I said, to keep track of your beers. It's also a good place to find breweries and pubs around you, which is cool, and see what people are drinking at those places, which is cool. I just don't know if the social elements are really there. So, Jesse, what if we were to say it's 2003 and we have our social media that we're ready to get our teeth dug into. What are the elements of social media that you even really care about anymore?
Wait, if we're going back in time to 2003?
Or even today. I'm just saying, if we want to make a social media site, what would it include?
I like being able to talk with people I actually know.
Yes. I think that that's basically it. Like, I was playing a game on Facebook today of look at the picture in your newsfeed and guess who the person is in it. Because I have so many people on my friends list that a large number of the pictures that I see on my newsfeed are people that I have no idea who they are.
I've been doing a lot of trimming the fat.
Yeah.
You on gotta Facebook, do that. But I got to a point where I'm like, well, these people can all go. And then I was like, if I keep this up, I'm not going to have anyone. I'm going to have no friends on Facebook.
But imagine how refreshing that would be if you had like 18 people on your friends list. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had 18 people on my friends list since September of 2004. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it might be great.
Like, just get those 18 people that you love and put them right in your friends list and then just keep up.
Yeah, but then I'd like go to Facebook and be like, oh, nothing's changed for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, there's that. But then events get really bigger. I don't know. And then, yeah, absence of ads is a great thing, dude. That's the other part about Facebook that drives me crazy now. This is ads. Ads in my newsfeed. I don't need it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how hard is it to scroll a quarter of an inch down the screen?
It's really tough, man.
I feel like that's a classic first world problem. Ads on my Facebook wall.
Yeah. Well, the question is here, man, is that are we all just really, is all we really want Google Plus? Because,
I've never even really used it.
We've never used Google Plus, but we are using the Google Plus infrastructure right now to have this conversation online.
Yeah.
So, like, if I can use Google Plus to have actual conversations with human beings as opposed to glib, hyperbole. Like, just have a real fucking human conversation with a human being.
I would literally sell every organ in my body and use that money to be able to have a conversation with a real human being. Except I sold my tongue, so that's a problem.
That is a problem. I don't know. Like, I just think we need more human connection. The other part about this is the freaking, like, posting the BuzzFeed, and it's just getting too much for me. I mean, I'm a social media consumer, man. I, like I said, I've had a Facebook site since the year that Facebook was founded. And I fucking MySpace the shit out of MySpace. I MySpace so much I didn't know what MySpace did, dude. But, like, I'm getting a little, I think I'm just, maybe I'm cocooning, maybe it's maturity.
You're
maybe
just
it's
getting
old. Older.
We're getting old.
I'm just getting a little tired of this stuff. Like, I just want human connection. That's all I want. That's why I want to play board games with my family on Thanksgiving.
Or just a couple of old podcasters.
Oh, Jesus.
Is your tongue an organ?
I have no idea.
Or is it like a muscle?
Roger Dotsie could probably tell us.
Yeah, true.
But that's the other part about, like, that's why I love this podcast. Like, I feel like this podcast is a community. We get to have real human conversations on this podcast. And it's not just between you and me. People get to call in and be a part of it. Like, if there was an element to Facebook that was like this, where there's, like, no hate, like, sure, we hate plenty on glib whatevers, but we don't ever hate on our phone callers, and we don't ever hate on our people, and we have conversations with people, and you tell us what to talk about, and we talk about it. Like, really, this is what, like, the Personal Arrogance podcast experience is what I want social media to be. Just real conversations with real human beings. And plenty of coin slayer.
Controlled by you. I mean, well, sort of a dictatorial approach to social media.
I'm totally Jim Harbaugh-ing this up right now, aren't I? I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe, I guess we're just getting old, man. But I do like
I
to
know
take...
I'm getting old. I'm getting so old. All I want to do is sit on a leather... Oh, here's a... Alaska House.
Right.
Alaska House? The sofa is a recliner, right? But no longer am I a slave to the lever.
Uh-huh.
They got a pull, you know, and it launches it out.
Right.
This is a robot recliner where you just press a button and the little robo gears recline for you.
Dude, we're going to build this freaking site. We're going to build this social media site. It's going to be called Alaska House.
Alaskahouse.biz.
Dude, you got your Alaska House account yet?
It's you got to get on Alaska House.
You got to get to Alaska House. You just build your house, you fill your friends with it, and you have real conversations with them. You drink some beer. It's great. Build your house, dude.
It's sort of like Farmville meets Facebook.
I love it.
Come, podcast.
Come over to my Alaska house today. Dude, we're having an Alaska house party at 7 o'clock. Be there.
Yeah. We're taking the boat out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sweet. Throw the crab pots down.
Right. We're going to have a bonfire on the beach. Cook some oysters. All right. Now I'm getting nostalgic. Jesse,
your
what's
days as a youth in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. My days, as of watching Deadliest Catch when I was in college. Jesse, what is your second topic?
I want to jump to a seldom used topic here. Right. Goat news.
No.
So go ahead and roll the tape.
Okay. I gotta bring it up here. Oh, here we go. Goat news.
As much as we love your forecast, this is a crazy story about a crazy-looking goat. We showed it earlier today, but we've been laughing all night about it.
I love goats. I mean, if there's a goat story,
well,
I'm going to watch.
It's boy against beast.
Paper boy
paper
against
boy.
Beast.
Northern Utah specialist Mike Anderson with the story.
This one-and-a-half-year-old goat may have a villainous name.
Voldemort.
But to owner Marissa Benson and her two young boys...
He's a really good pet. Good with kids, a good lawnmower.
Still, somehow Voldemort's chain broke. He got loose, making his way across Smithfield Main Street.
It was dark, and I saw this, like, figure.
14-year-old Jackson Gessel was on his early morning paper route.
But I thought it was just a dog.
At first, he didn't think much of it.
And then it made a weird noise, kind of like a grunting noise.
Gessel says the shadowy figure, Voldemort, started coming towards him.
And so I looked over and I'm like, what the heck is that?
He was knocked off his bike. He started to run away.
It just freaked me out when it stood up on its back legs and, like, wrapped its front legs around me and pulled me off.
Jackson took shelter in this tree. There he was, up in the branches, looking down at the goat looking back up at him. This went on for about an hour.
Meantime, Smithfield police officer Brandon Muir.
Juveniles reported that he hadn't returned from a paper route and it was about an hour and a half overdue.
Was working a missing child case called in by Gessel's parents until he got another call about a boy in a tree and a goat.
All right, boy to treat a goat. I just wonder how you get the job of Northern Utah specialist. That sounds like a badass job.
You live there for one summer.
You do. Oh man, dude, I love goat news, and I also love local news because I'll watch any story with a goat in it.
It's man versus beast. Boy versus Beast. Paperboy, that is.
So, Jesse, I actually heard about this story today, and my initial reaction was, I am not surprised.
Yeah, goats are nasty.
Goats are assholes. And I have a firsthand experience of, like this is freaking deja vu for me.
And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is. Like, this is deja vu, okay? Because when I was, like, 12 years old, my buddy Kendall Carrier had a birthday party at his house. And he lived in, like, you know, we lived in Bremerton, but there were still, like, some farms and stuff around Bremerton. So he had a goat and a horse. So, like, one of the cool things is mom took all the kids out to the field, and we were riding the horse. Like, we all get a chance to ride on the horse, which is, like, a really cool thing for a birthday party. But they also had the goat loose. And I'm just standing there in the field waiting for my turn to to ride this freaking horse. And out of nowhere, this goat just charges at me, runs up, jumps on me, puts its hooves on my chest, and then headbutts me right in the chest.
What?
And knocks me over.
Wow, yeah. I had no idea.
It was fucking crazy. This goat had it out for me. I have no idea, man.
But yeah, goats are nasty. I mean, they have, like, weapons on their heads.
They do. They literally, like, what do you think those are for? They're for running into shit because that's what they do. That's what they're instinctually done for, like, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. So you're the resident goat attack expert.
I am.
Do you have any safety tips?
Safety tips.
Can you just grab the horns and, like, twist?
See, I feel you can't resist.
It's like a black bear attack.
Yeah, like, just if you try to fight,
play dead.
If you try to fight the goat will fight back and you will lose.
Yeah.
Like, it does not, like, you have to realize what a goat is doing here. Like, we've seen the National Geographic footage of two bighorn sheep ramming into each other in a mountainous surrounding. That is the same thing that's going through these goats' heads. So, like, if you try to challenge it, it's like, oh, you're trying to be the big man in the mountain, and then it's going to try to take you out.
So you submit.
You submit.
It just wants the social hierarchy.
It does. So it once it wins, then you're done.
Yeah. And that worked for you?
I don't know. I think his mom came and grabbed the horns and ran it pulled it away. Put it up on the leash.
Did it attack any other kids?
No, just me. And we were all standing in the field, and the goat just singled me out. Probably because I was a tall kid. I was probably the tallest guy in the field. So he's like, I'm going to go take down the biggest guy in the field so I can be king of the field.
It's a little bit like they say, like, if you go to prison, pick a fight with the biggest guy day one.
That's a goat philosophy every day.
That is goat philosophy, because I don't think that would actually work. It wouldn't work out well for me, for sure. Like, go find the biggest guy and start a fight with him to, like, prove how tough you are. But what about when he starts beating you up?
I've always had a problem with this because, like, I don't understand. I don't know what constitutes the biggest guy, because I've heard this before, and it kind of makes me scared.
The morbidly obese guy in the wheelchair.
Well, I don't know. Like, sometimes I'm afraid to go to bars because it's like, I don't know if people think I'm the biggest guy. Like, I don't want to fight you. I'm going to lose. Yeah. Like, I'm not the big. I'm the tallest guy. I'm not the biggest guy.
That's funny.
Anyway,
that you have the same philosophy as fighting goats.
Exactly.
Going to bars. Well, all right, I'll just take it.
I mean, the other part about this is, like, this, you know, this guy was riding a bike, which is basically a goat. Like, a goat has terrible vision, right? We all dissected goat eyes when we were in junior high.
No, we did not all do that.
I did that.
I did not.
Apparently, I went to Dexter Junior High.
We did
a lot of dissections, but goat eyes was one of them.
Huh.
But they have terrible vision, so, like, he's basically seeing this thing rolling down the street. Voldemort is a black sheep. He's a black goat. His fur is black. He's seeing a black bike that basically has two horns sticking out of the top, roving along the street. He's going to attack it.
I like it.
Yeah.
What do you think of this boy's defense?
Running up in the tree. What I don't understand is that he said he was in the tree for an hour, which I'm calling BS on, because this is a crowded street. Like, there was nobody around who could
well,
be like...
he's a paper boy. It's like 4:45 a.m.
Oh, I didn't get that it was that early.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. At first, they mentioned that under the Cloak of Darkness, Voldemort attacked.
Well...
And I was like, how late was this paper boy? Oh, wait.
Early morning.
Probably really early.
Well, you know, Northern Utah.
Yeah. No, I don't, because I'm not a Northern Utah specialist.
Oh, man. I love this story, though.
I've been around ghosts that are totally docile, though.
Yeah, there's just mean goats, man. They're just mean goats.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, sometimes an animal's just mean as hell.
Yeah.
Otherwise friendly... I'm sure there's, like, a mean-ass sloth out there.
He's pissed.
He'll just totally shred you. Like, oh yeah, that's the mean one. It's like, what happens? What makes that one mean?
He will slowly claw you to death. And then he'll dig up your remains and poop in them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because sloths dig little toilets with their tails and poop in them and then dig them back up.
Oh. They truly are. Could you get one to poop in a cat box, do you think?
I've always had a dream of having a sloth. And
Air Jordan.
Yeah, Air Jordan. And put a little Michael Jordan jersey on him and have a basketball hoop in my house that he can hang from. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if there was just a tree, like a potted plant, that he would just do his business in the plant. And then it would...
True. But then eventually the plant's going to die because there's nothing but sloth poop in there.
Sloth poop is very high in nutrients.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing that sloths do, man. They eat the tree and then they poop and then they feed the tree.
Yeah.
It's own
circle of life.
Its own carcass. They're like, I'm going to eat your hair, and then you're going to eat my poop of your hair. It's
that's an interesting perspective,
Eric. Basically what they're doing.
Well, there you have it. That's goat news for this week.
All right. We're going to move on to our Facebook roundup, but before we do, we want to talk to you about the Ball Move Network. Of course, we have Watching Dead going on right now, covering all your needs for The Walking Dead. And if you're like me, and you're catching up on Mad Men or Breaking Bad on Netflix, we got podcasts for that shit, too! And they're really, really good. I actually listened through all of the Breaking Good podcasts recently, and I shed a tear on the last one, because it's just so damn beautiful. Anyway, I'm a big softie. We also have the Because Show, which is the ladies down in Los Angeles talking about makeup and books and wine and awesome stuff like that, and life and sex and hobbies, and they got a lot of knowledge, so listen to them. And then, of course, we got Up Yours Downstairs covering everything Edwardian. If it's on Masterpiece, it's on Up Yours Downstairs. And then we're on there as well. And then just want to shout out once again, make sure I have the link right, but we are giving away all of the money from the Bald Move Amazon affiliate link to Child's Play. And once again, guys, just go to our affiliate link. You can go to the baldmove.com page, and it's actually up on the banner. You can just go to amazon.baldmove.com, bookmark that page, and that's our click-through. Do your regular shopping on Amazon. We get a kickback, and we're giving it to kids in the hospital. So it's a win-win for everybody. Baldmove.com. You can also get in touch with us. Send us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. We have our Twitter, @personalpodcast. You can rate and review us on iTunes, which helps us out a lot. It gets us up the rankings. It gets us more exposure, and more people will listen to us. And then this little Alaska house gets bigger and bigger, and then we have a great bonfire, and we eat some smoked salmon. It's delicious. And we're also on Facebook. You can find us on the Bald Move Facebook page, and you can also find us on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. Speaking of that, every week, we post on our Personal Arrogance Facebook page, say, hey, we're recording tonight. What do you want us to talk about? And you give us your responses in a little segment we call the Facebook Roundup. And here it is. Sean says, if you had to take revenge on someone that tried to ruin your salsa business, what would you do? Asking for a friend. Salsa business, man.
Well, the Sriracha factory.
Right.
Got shut down because the crushed peppers were... affecting the neighborhood, so just say that, you know, the dicing of tomatoes is setting off my allergies.
Exactly.
They're going to have to shut it down.
Scale back, shut it down. And I am hoarding sriracha.
That's called buying one bottle of it, because it will last you 10 years.
No one noticed the shortage of sriracha because their bottles were full for the next 5 years. Sean also sent us a video. Did you see this video?
The GABF?
The monster-sized, unidentifiable creature dug up in Vietnam.
No, I didn't.
So it's just a YouTube video. It's a blue whale. It's a blue whale carcass. It's a whale carcass, people. It's just a giant whale carcass. But it is kind of creepy. I mean, it looks like something from a B-movie, but it's actual footage. I don't know where they got this thing from, but they're trying to move it. It looks like a giant worm, but it's a whale. James Patterson says, as far as I know, the sloth, ooh, very relevant here, is the only animal named after one of the seven deadly sins. If you had to rename other animals after the deadly sins, which would you pick? Also, JR from Philly always has the most delicious phone quality. He sounds like he speaks to you through a solid gold microphone wrapped in red velvet icing. Well, that's because he sends us wave files. And you can too. You can just send us your wave files at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Same thing that Dennis Kleinbeck does out in Germantown. And they come through nice, loud, and clear for the podcast. But animals named after the seven deadly sins. So what about wrath, buddy? What animal is wrath?
Grizzly bear.
Duh. What about gluttony?
Whale shark?
I'd go with humpback whale.
Okay, definitely a whale.
Yeah, total plankton gluttons.
Yeah.
I just love plankton.
What about lust?
Bonobos.
Ooh, a little bonobo lust.
Have you seen the videos of the penis fencing bonobos?
I have not. What is happening in these?
They fight with their boners.
So they're basically like
they get
goats?
Boners and then sword fight, and it's like a social dominance thing.
That is ridiculous. What about greed?
Baboons?
Love it. You know, when I was in Africa, you would eat your breakfast.
You're Mr. World Traveler today.
I'm sorry. When I was in Africa, we were doing a safari in Kenya, and we were at this, like, resort place, and you ate breakfast outside on the patio. But while you were eating breakfast, there would be baboons just, like, watching you.
That's
like,
creepy.
And not far away, like six
from
feet
the
away. They had a little wall around it. No, they were sitting on the wall.
Oh, God.
They'd watch you eat, and then when you got up, they would go and go on the table and eat all your leftovers.
At least they're nice enough to wait.
They were fucking creepy, man.
I'll take scavenging baboons over like attacking baboons.
What about envy? Most envious
a parrot?
Parrot.
I feel like they're envious of the gift of speech.
But they have the gift of speech.
Well, what do you think, envy?
See, I'm going to go with something like a koala bear because they're not actually bears. And they wish they were. And they're mean. And they're cuddly. Just like a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
But they're not bears.
I'll allow it.
All right. What about pride?
Well, lion's a little too on the nose.
I love it, though.
I'm
going to go with penguins, dude, because they're always sticking their chest out.
Especially those emperor penguins.
Yeah, and they have, like, no natural predators except for the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, emperor penguins are pride, man. Let's see if we got them all. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride. I think we got them.
Wow, you know the seven deadly sins offhand?
Well, dude, I've watched seven, like, three times.
Oh, Morgan I've never Freeman. Seen that movie.
Oh, dude, you haven't? That's a good movie.
I've heard it's good, yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Kevin
Spacey.
I've heard.
All right. Angela Martinez says, football, family, food, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving, Jesse?
Just being lazy.
I gotta say it's the food, man.
Yeah, food.
I love holidays where you can put as much on your plate as you want, and nobody.
It's a combination
really...
of all things, though. Of
yeah,
like seeing the family and also stuffing yourself, and also sitting on the couch and watching something.
Yeah, having a good time at Alaska House. Jacob Jones Martinez says, "How awesome is it that Rogers' acid trip has an 8-game winning streak? Isn't it awesome?" He's got a nail biter coming up against A-Rod, but the last 8 weeks have been pretty rad, right? This is the Arrogant Move League, Jesse, which I believe you've been knocked out of now.
Officially
knocked out of the playoffs. But Rogers Acid Trips was one of the worst teams in the league, and now they're on a tear, making their playoff run. So we'll see what happens. Also, there will be a trophy for the winner, and I'm trying to figure out what to do for the loser of the league. Because there will still be playoffs to figure out who is in last place.
Oh, really?
I'm thinking we should name something on the podcast after them.
I don't know. I say just let them out mercifully.
We can't do that, dude. It's fantasy football. There's nothing
fantasy
more
football ruthless. Is so... I'm so over it. Fantasy football is the stupidest thing.
I don't think it's stupid, dude. You just gotta... You gotta play it every week. You gotta stay on top of it.
It's like... not fun. You're not actually good at anything if you're good at fantasy football.
That's not true.
You're good at picking the guys that are good at doing something. It's so stupid.
I don't think it's that
stupid.
I'm
into real-ass football. The fantasy thing is so lame. It's such a waste of time. It takes way too long. A whole goddamn football season?
Dude, it doesn't... That's how long a football season is.
Like, yeah, football is great.
I can't watch this Seahawks because they play for like 3 months.
No, football is great. Fantasy football is just stupid and meaningless.
I don't know. But you just got to play it right, dude. It's fine if you don't have the passion, but I don't think you should badmouth people who like it.
I should, because you're into something that's stupid. You're like a stupid, blithe Redditor.
I just want to say that I'm in three leagues, and I'm in second place in two of them and first place in the other one. So I don't think it's all just luck here, J-Dog.
Cool story.
Thanks, man. Jonathan says, I got an Xbox One from my wife for Christmas, and she gave it to me early.
What?
I think that's pretty early. Rules. It is early. I have to say, I'm actually really liking the voice control, and it works really well. I really believe that Microsoft will change the way people watch and interact with their televisions. So there's a little mini review from somebody who's actually got a console, which we don't have.
Yeah.
And then finally, James McKinnon sent us the Triumph Visits the Great American Beer Fest. Have you seen this video, dude?
Yeah.
I love it. This is like probably my favorite funny. My favorite Triumph sketch.
Beer festivals can be a real shit show.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's all I have to say about that. All right, Jesse, let's do some recos and call it a cast. What's your first reco?
Civilization 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like it. How are you finding it, Eric?
Well, I'm still trying to figure it out a little bit.
Take a little bit of learning to know what to go after.
I mean, it's really my first time playing, so...
This is my first time playing it online, which I really enjoyed, but it's a little slow.
It is really slow, dude.
Especially when people are fighting.
Yeah, when you and Levi got into that battle, I was like, okay, I'm done. It's like 10-minute turns now, and I'm done immediately, because I'm just waiting for my call to
get something else going on.
Yeah. But no, I definitely I want to kind of start a new game and like try a new way. But, dude, you could spend, like, I bought this game. I've already spent, 8 hours playing it? Like, I've gotten my money's worth out of this thing already.
Yeah, so, I want to finish that game because I'm in this bitter war with Levi that needs...
Yeah.
There needs to be an end.
Well, I'm down for playing, or you guys could just go without me because I already lost.
You haven't already lost.
You literally have
his empire.
You literally have twice as many points as I do.
Points mean nothing. There's several ways to win.
Okay. Well, I did have a giant military, but I had to get rid of a bunch of them because they were eating up all my money.
Yeah, that's why you got to use them.
Yeah. Well, that's when I had that giant military. I kept on getting tips from my military advisor that I should attack Levi because his military was really weak. And I was thinking about going in and taking Berlin because he took my elephant early in the game and I want it back.
Oh, wow. Anyway. Yeah. Actually, the expansion Brave New World is half price for the Steam Autumn sale. So I just picked that one up for $15 instead of the usual $30.
Well, that rolls right into my first record, which is the Steam Autumn sale, which is going on now. And I'm very excited about this because this is my first Steam sale that I'm being a part of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a lot, like Portal 2 is like $5.
Mm-hmm.
Like now's the time to just stockpile games. Like you could spend $20 and get like 4 or 5 games.
That's what I did over the last couple years. I still have like L.A. Noire I haven't played. I still haven't played like Metro 2033 and Portal 2. I got a bunch of games I need to get to.
Do the Steam Autumn Sale because you'll get a lot of games that you'll never play.
No, that's the thing, though. It's like, I will play them.
Oh, by the way, FTL's $5.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Steam Autumn Sale. What's your Seco Reco, J-Dog?
Oh, so I have rekindled my love affair with salami.
Oh, are you serious? Me too, man.
Salami is the king of meats.
Yes.
I don't understand why bacon gets all the press, because salami is better than bacon.
It really is, dude. Like, and you don't have to cook it. Like, you just get the salami and you make a salami sandwich, and it's the great. Like, I made these breakfast sandwiches. It was like an egg, like a soft boiled egg, not a soft boiled egg, an over easy egg, on toast with like some spring greens and then salami, and it was the most delicious thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, salami is great. I've been, I'll go to like the Safeway and get their cheap, like, Safeway brand pizza that you cook at home. Right?
Yeah.
And then I go buy like the pack of Columbus dry salami, throw that on there, and then it's like delicious and pretty cheap.
Do it. Good, salami, good one, man. And then I just watched this. I got a couple of Netflix recommendations. The first one, I just watched this movie. It's called Crystal Fairy. It stars Michael Cera, about a guy who really wants to go on a mescaline trip in Chile. It's an independent film from Sundance, and I really enjoyed it. So check that one out on Netflix. Also, Guilty Pleasure on Netflix, Comic Book Men. It's Kevin Smith's show about his comic book shop. It's a reality show about his comic book shop in New Jersey. But it's, like, basically just filling that void that Pawn Stars and American Pickers left in my soul. But it just fills that
worst.
Dude, American Pickers, man. I always regret that I never made an American Pickers podcast. American Pickers Peck to Pick a Pickle podcast.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you. All right, well, with that, I think that's a show, man. enjoy.
Play more Civilization.
Buy some stuff on Steam.
You should. Well,
what?
I know you just got into Steam, but it'd be cool if you got the Brave New World, because it's got like fucking trade routes, dude.
Yeah.
Trade routes, and you're like, I'm gonna connect this city to that city and make a trade route, and it's gonna give both cities more money, and you can do it to other people. Like,
but
we're gonna.
There are
trade routes.
Trade routes in regular Civ, dude. I had trade routes going.
Yeah, these are different, though, because these could, like, be attacked.
Okay.
It's not just, like, you put a road between here and there, and it, like, connects it to your empire. This is, like, a tangible thing, and it sends, like, boats around. It looks really cool.
Cool, man.
Cool stuff.
All right, well, with that, Jesse, thanks for being on the show this week again. You've been
welcome.
A solid host. And I'm excited to see you this weekend.
Yeah, totally.
We'll talk to you guys next time, and remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay
Aragon.